but I was like, I wish I was that tall, but I didn't quite get there. Hi, I'm Cassie Deffelbaugh. I'm from the Washington City Mission. I'm actually new to the mission. I've only started about a month ago, I guess, this week. And I'm the new person in charge of church and community relations. So if you're ever interested in volunteering or getting more involved with the mission, I'm your go-to girl. I'm the one that you would call to find out more information on how to get involved, and I could help point you in the right direction and to get you plugged in. However, or if your church has a need and you want us to come and help in any way, you can also reach out to us. We like it to be a two-way street. We don't want people to just feel like we're always asking them to come serve us. We also want to come and help serve the community that so graciously supports what we do at the City Mission. So today, I brought with me the CEO of the City Mission, Dean Gartland. He has been doing missions work like this for probably 38 years. He's been with the Washington City Mission for the past 10, and he's definitely fulfilling the calling that God has placed on his life. It's such, it's a real honor to be able to work in a mission where the person in charge has such a heart for what he does, such a passion, and you can just tell when he takes you on a tour or if you're just sitting and having a one-on-one conversation, you can really feel the heart he has for the residents, the heart he has for the people and the community that we serve. It's not just a job that he does. It's his real calling. It's his real passion in life, and I count it a blessing that I get to be a part of that and to be part of the hands and feet that continue to make this vision come to life. And so he is going to tell you a little bit more about the City Mission and what we do and things like that. So thank you. And here is our CEO of City Mission, Dean Gartland.
Great. Wow, Kathy. That was great introduction, I guess. That was this is a certainly is a calling that God has on my life, and I know that and maybe I'm going to take a little snippet of time to kind of just paint that picture for you a little bit, let you know how God did call me into this work, and why I have such a passion and a dedication to serving the homeless, the addicted, the poor of our community. I'll do that for about 5 minutes, and then I think we have a video that we're going to show, right?
Yeah, sorry.
That's okay. We have a video that we're going to show, but I'm going to do this for just about 5 minutes, and then we're going to show the video. But I grew up in a little town called Johnstown, and not too far from here, but it was not a real good time for me in my life growing up. So it was, I got involved in things I should have never, as a young man, got involved in, but I did. And it wasn't pleasant. But the thing that happened that kind of changed things for me, my mother passed away when I was 17 years old. But prior to that, for about 3 years, she was sick in and out of the hospital quite a bit. And so I was one of six children, the youngest boy. I have a sister 3 years younger than me. I kind of went off on my own, and because there was so much happening in our family with my mother, no one paid attention to where was little Dean. Well, little Dean was out doing not so good things and getting involved in things he shouldn't have gotten involved in. But I had a brother who had come back from Vietnam, and I don't know how to describe it, but he was absolutely mean, just a mean person when he came back, and he carried a gun on him, he had a knife in his boot. I mean, I was afraid of him. He was, about 8 years older than I was. And but I was afraid of him, and I was, so I didn't pay any, I stayed away from him as much as I could. But one day I saw something so different. He came home, and he actually had a smile on his face, something that I'm not used to. He had a smile on his face. Something was different. There was a peace that he had. And for whatever reason, I was just like, man, I wanted whatever it was that he had. And so I would sit and listen as he would share with me how Jesus changed his life. And I was raised, we were raised in a Roman Catholic home, so it was like, I couldn't understand this. How did Jesus change your life? And so as he would share with me, seriously, I could not understand anything he was saying. All I know had to do with Jesus, and somehow Jesus was actually changed his life. And so one day, I'm heading to a rock concert in Pittsburgh from Johnstown. I didn't have a ride. And my brother was living in Pittsburgh at the time, and so he would come back to Johnstown. He said, Dean, I'll drive you down. I said, all right, that's good. So me and two of my friends jumped in the car. We took off, and I always say my Damascus Road was Route 22. Because on the way down from Johnstown to Pittsburgh, something was happening to me. And I wasn't quite understanding what it was, but something was happening. There was this hardness, this whatever that was in my heart was beginning to soften. And my brother made a stop. He said, let me make a phone call, which he did. And he said, Dean, I want to make one stop before I take you over to Three River Stadium for that concert. I said, you know, that's fine. So we made this trip over and went in and to this pastor's home. And so we sat down in the house, and the little girl, his daughter, brought a Bible for each one of us. And we're sitting there, and I'm looking, I'm thinking, what? This is a strange custom. Come into somebody's home and they give you a Bible. And this pastor sat down and shared with us how Jesus changed his life. And while he was sharing his testimony with me, I could see out of the corner of my eye my brother kneeling in the corner praying for us. And I don't know. So at that time, the pastor challenged me and my friends to give our lives to Christ. And I said, you know, that's what I wanted to do. And we knelt on that pastor's floor, and I received Christ into my life. I actually felt something leave me and something very warm and powerful come into my life. And then I understood what happened to my brother. Jesus came into my life and changed me. 2 years later, I am praying and asking God for direction. I heard a missionary speaking, and God just pressed on my heart about missionary work and serving him. And I had thought I was going to Haiti, and I made a call to the Friends of Haiti Missionary Sending Board, and they said, Dean, what do you have to offer the Haitian people? And I said, Jesus. I was young, 22 years old. I was full of zeal, but not a whole lot of knowledge. And they said, well, that's great, but you know, the Haitian people need more than that. And so I went back to the drawing board. But God opened my eyes to a mission field that was right in front of me. I was volunteering at the mission in Pittsburgh at the time. And the homeless and the poor and the addicted and the were coming there to eat. And I don't know, God just burdened my heart for this population of people, knowing they don't visit our churches. They're out on the street. They're in the under the bridges. They're in the parks. And so I had a new vision for mission work that God had placed on my heart. And so that's just a very quick story about my entering into mission work and why this population was very important to me, because I also was doing many of the same things they were doing. And I knew how God had changed my life, and I believed that God can change every single person's life the same way. And so I've dedicated my life that way. And so the last 38 years, this is what I've been doing, serving in mission work. So at this time, before I get into the actual message, let's show the video.
grace, lavished grace, God's redemptive grace. Through hunger, you showed me the kindness of a warm meal. Through thirst, you provided water to quench my dry throat. Through homelessness, you gave me a place to call my own. Through addiction, you treated me with loving care. Through hopelessness, you showed me a light. For though I was counted among the least, you welcomed me with open arms. And for that, I am eternally grateful.
All right. That gives you a little snippet about the mission. That video was shot right in Washington, actually under one of the bridges there. And the person coming into the mission, that's actually our mission that this video was shot in. But but it just gives you a little snippet about people are on our streets, people are hurting, people are lost, people are struggling. And we are living at a time, in an unbelievable time, with the opioid epidemic that's going on throughout the country. And of course, southwestern Pennsylvania is not immune to this. This opioid addiction issue has affected so many families and so many people. I bet you if I asked for you here, how many of you know someone or your family has been infected and impacted in some way? There's probably people right here in this congregation that can say yes. We've seen heartache, heartbreak, families devastated, broken apart because of addiction. And of course, this opioid addiction right now that's going on, people are losing their lives. People are struggling just to be able to get through one day at a time. And at the City Mission, we're seeing more and more people coming to us who are being either referred by their families or saying, listen, I have a son, a daughter, a husband, a wife, or what have you, who's addicted, can't get clean, they're struggling, they're gonna lose their lives. And they're referring them to the City Mission for help. And of course, we are open to take anybody. When they show up at our door, the only thing we ask them to do is please abide by our rules. No drinking or drugging while you're with us, but we have a program that we truly believe is a very effective program that really gets results. And we measure everything, so we know what I can tell you exactly what our recovery rates are at the City Mission. And so one of the things we've been doing over the last 8 years has been studying the average length of time and people's success rates. So what we've discovered is that when people stay at least 90 days or longer at the City Mission, success rate is around 69%. That's pretty amazing. When you think about, a lot of programs, if you can get 10%, 15% success rate, you're doing pretty good. Well, ours is 69%, partly because there is no insurance that's paying for their stay there, so they can stay as long as they need that service to get to that element of success. A lot of programs, you have a time limit. You can stay 30 days, 90 days, maybe at the most, but usually it's about 30 days, and then they're back out on the street again, and then they just begin to recycle and do the same things they did before. But at the City Mission, we have a way and a program and a process by which people can stay, work through the barriers that stand in their way of independence. And so everything that we do at the Mission is always to lead a person to independence and independent living. How many of you knew that I do know that you know that because this church has been supporting the Mission for a long time, and I'm truly, truly grateful for your support. And people's lives are being changed at the Mission because not only of your financial support, but because of your prayer support and because of people who volunteer and give of their time to come and be a positive influence on the people that we serve. I have two scriptures I'm going to share with you this morning, and that have very significant meaning, well, for the mission, and for me in particular, but for the mission in general. And I think it was 2 years ago I came here and spoke. If I'm not mistaken, it was 2 or 3 years ago that I came. So I'm not sure if you may have already heard this piece, but I'm going to share it with you anyways. So if you did hear it, it'll be a reminder to you. If you didn't hear it, then let God speak to you through this. But in the book of James, chapter 1, verses 2 through 4, it says this: "Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything." The day after the fire that happened back in June of 2015, it was pretty obviously very devastating. Here's the, you know, our mission. We lost our medical clinic, our dorms for our men, our kitchen, dining room, our ability to feed. Everything seemed to be gone. And this was a scripture that God pressed upon my heart when I was praying, "God, what's our next? What do we do? How do we continue?" And so we were at kind of at a tipping point. Do we just close and say, you know, wait till we rebuild and then open back up again? But God said, no, you do not close. And because too many lives are at stake. People they're dying on our streets. They're losing their lives. Their families are being broken apart. So I made a decision that we will continue to serve whichever way God provides. And God provided in such a miraculous, powerful way. I'm telling you, the community just rose up. I mean, they provided meals. Everything just worked out step by step. If I ever had an opportunity to tell you exactly everything, how God did this, as a matter of fact, I'm thinking about writing a small booklet, because I'm telling you, God showed up in some ways that it's just miraculous. There's no other way to describe it. Absolutely miraculous. We never missed a day of serving the homeless men that's their dorms that were destroyed, and were a day of feeding the community and the people that we serve. Never missed a day. We didn't even have any facilities. But local churches stepped up. We had a church that let us use their dining room and their kitchen. Churches were bringing food. Businesses were bringing food. The community just rose up in a very powerful, powerful way. I'll tell you what, it was a real testimony to the glory of God about how the body of Christ surrounded the city mission and helped us continue to serve the people that we serve. But as I read this scripture, and the thing was odd about this, I'm thinking, okay, so I got to count it joy. Reluctantly, I got to count it joy as we face these trials of many kind. And these trials of many kind were of many kind: financial, volunteers, food, support. We had trials of many, they were of many kind that we were facing. The men that were displaced by the fire, we had to find trailers and put things together to house them. And so we were able to do all these things. So all these trials, according to the scripture, was for the purpose of developing perseverance. But not just to have perseverance, but to let perseverance complete the work that it wants to do in our lives. So myself, the staff, we got together, we prayed, we came up with plans, we thought these things through about how we were going to move forward to keep the mission operational. But the last part of the scripture says this: "But perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything." Well, I didn't know it at the time, but as time went on and as we began to put our plans together, I mean, for the first time, city planning, you know, gave a stamp of approval on our plans. City council, yes. I mean, I was just at that council meeting about 2 years earlier, and they laughed at me because they thought, "What are you doing here? And like, you know, you can't expand your footprint of the mission. You know, you can't rebuild or do these things." Well, here we are. Everybody's all of a sudden, God's given us favor. with government and officials, county commissioners, everybody starts to support the city mission. And so it was and I do say this, it was absolutely a miracle to see what happened. But the scripture says that that perseverance is going to it has its own work that it has to accomplish in my life, the life of our staff, the people that we serve. And it says that we be complete, mature, lacking nothing. So one day I'm thinking about that piece of scripture, and I'm saying, okay, lacking nothing. So I started listing all the things that we lacked. We lacked appropriate medical space for our medical clinic. We lacked a decent kitchen. We lacked enough space to be able to have a dining room that could serve people. We lacked office space. We lacked program space. We lacked classroom space. We had lacks. I mean, I just made a list of all these things that we were lacking. And today, I am, glory to God, almost every one of those things that we were lacking have been met. It's absolutely amazing. And I certainly am going to extend to you an invitation to please come to the city mission. Please come and take a tour. See everything that God has done. Everything that God has done through you, through your gifts and support and your prayers at the city mission. I mean, it is totally a different footprint there, a different campus than it was about 2.5, almost 3 years ago. Totally changed, totally transformed. God took us through a transformation much like he has done in the lives of the men and women who come to us for help. He transforms their lives, totally different, changes them, and he has done the same thing with the city mission. And so for that, I'm very grateful. Another scripture that I want to share with you is found in the Gospel of Matthew, and it's chapter 16, verse 26. What good will it be for a man if he gains the whole world and yet forfeits his soul? Or what can a man give in exchange for his soul? This is one of the things, and I've shared this many, many times over these last several years with the churches I get to go and speak at. But I let people know this. I would rather see someone go to heaven homeless than to go to hell owning the riches of this world. Because what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? And so our commitment at the city mission is to reach these men and women and children with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because that, if we don't do that, then we have failed as a mission, we have failed as an organization, and we have failed the people that God has called us to serve. And so my commitment has always been that the gospel of Christ will always have preeminence at the mission. Yes, I want to make sure everybody is fed. Yes, I want to make sure that everybody has an opportunity develop and grow. But I want to make sure above everything else they have an opportunity to know Jesus. Another thing that I like to say, and Cassie's getting real education on this one. But I always say, listen, people who come to the mission need soap. So we want to make sure everybody gets soap. And soap basically just stands for four simple things. It's four elements that we want people to know. They need support. They need an opportunity. They need accountability. And they need purpose. And so when people walk through that door, every man, woman, child that walks through the door of City Mission, we want to give them some soap. So that, because if you can take that soap and apply it, you have a chance at a brand new life. Soap, support, opportunity, accountability, and purpose. And when you can provide that for someone walking through the door, addicted, homeless, mental health challenges, medical challenges, the city mission is there to be able to provide that soap in order for them to be able to get clean. Interesting how God uses these things to help the men and women that we're serving. So very quickly, I think most of you know what we do. But I'm going to give you, for those of you who may not be aware, I'm just going to give you a very quick overview of the city mission. But obviously, we operate four shelters, one for men, one for single women without children, one that is under renovation, which will be for women with children. And most recently, we have built a new shelter for homeless veterans. We've been tracking veterans as they have been coming to the mission over the last 8 years, and the number of veterans has been growing and growing every year. I think the first year, 8 years ago when we started this, I think we had somewhere around 25 veterans that year that came to us for help. Last year, it was up to 75. And so more and more are coming. They're getting younger. It used to be Vietnam-era veterans. Today, it's a lot of Afghanistan war veterans, Iraqi war veterans. They're in their 20s. They're struggling. Many of them have come back to civilian life, and life isn't what they thought it was going to be. My son is in the as a Marine. He's been in the Marines for 15 years. He's been deployed four times. And he has told me he's lost more of his buddies back home than he did when he was in Iraq and the other place in Yemen and other places that he had been. But because of suicide, high-risk behaviors that they're engaged in, because over there, they operate under a high adrenaline every day that they get up, because every one of them knows that that could be their last day. And so there's this high adrenaline rush that they have every day to stay alive, to help their buddies, to carry out their mission. They get back to the States, and that adrenaline, I don't want to say it's an addiction, but they're dependent on that adrenaline, and when they're not experiencing that, they begin to engage in behaviors that are very high risk. And some of them have found that, you know, their wives or girlfriends while they were away become pregnant, or they get many of you know, a Dear John letter while they're over there. And I know my son, who's not married and refused to go that route because he said, Dad, he didn't feel it was fair to the girl for him to go over there and be in harm's way and knowing that she's back in the States. So he's always, he's married to the Marine Corps. He loves it. And so although he's coming after 15 years, he's got 5 more years, he's going to retire. He does have a girlfriend. And his mother and I are praying that he does get married here shortly. But our veterans are experiencing a higher rate of addiction and other mental health and emotional need issues than the general population of homeless people. So they're more likely to become homeless, and they're likely to stay homeless longer than the general population of people who end up becoming homeless. So we made a commitment that we are going to serve them because they have served us. And so we made planned and have completed the building. We're putting the finishing touches on it, getting the furniture and so forth. But this facility is a 3-story building. 2 floors are dedicated just where the veterans are going to be sleeping and living. The first floor is a medical clinic and a dental clinic. And so this is a big undertaking for us, but this is what we believe God has laid on our hearts to serve our veterans and to provide for them in a way that is unique, to combine the spiritual programming that we have with some of the veterans' programming, which is where veterans heal better together. And so that's why that building is dedicated to serve only veterans. And so we were very excited about getting that open. July 3rd will be a flag raising. We have a nice flagpole out front of that building. We're going to raise the flag, and the building will be open. We'll be able to transition many of the veterans we have living in our program right now. They'll be able to transition over to the new facility. Does anybody know how much time I have left? We could keep going? 5 minutes, 10 minutes? Okay, oh, good. So the veterans program is something that's very exciting. And I would encourage you, if you have a heart for our veterans and you really want to get involved and doing something meaningful, please let Cassie know, because we would love to connect you and get you involved in our veteran program, because at this point, there is no funding for our veterans program. There's no government funding. The city mission has about 2% of our revenue comes from government funds. The rest is from people just like yourself and this church who support the mission regularly, and that's what keeps our doors open and allows us to carry out the ministry that God has called us to do. So you are critical to the process of reaching homeless men, women, and children, and providing for our homeless veterans. You are a critical piece of that puzzle. So when you think about the scripture about, you know, what shall a man get, you know, gain or exchange for his soul, there is no price that you can put on a person's soul, obviously. Jesus came, he died for us, he died for every single one of us, and I am so grateful that he changed my life. I don't know where I would be today if he had not come into my life as a young man and transformed and changed me. So, and I know for you as well, you're here today, Jesus has changed your life. Where would you be today if Christ had not come into your life at the time that he did? I think it's a little scary sometimes to think about where where you might be at this time if it wasn't for Jesus. And I think for every man, woman, and child who walks through our doors, the same thing. I'm going to tell you, I'm going to share with you two stories. One is a young man named Mark. Mark was a guy that came to the, and he came in the mission by, I'd say probably 5-6 years ago. He came to the mission, alcoholic, depressed, struggling, had no job, nothing, lost his apartment, lost his job, came to the mission asking for help. So we accepted him, came into the program, told him about our chapel services that he needed to go to. He didn't want to go to them. He said, I'm an atheist. I really don't think that chapel's going to help me. And I said, well, you know what? If you came in with a broken leg, I would send you to the hospital. Well, you're coming in with a broken spirit. So I'm sending you to the spiritual hospital. So you're going to our chapel program. And I said, so if you don't want to listen, that's up to you. You don't want to, but you're going to have to go and you just sit there. And just, you know, if you want to sleep there, you can just sleep in your chair, but you're going to go. So he did. And I'd say about, I guess 6 months into that program, because he would go to AA and NA, and he was doing all the other things that the requirements of the program. He was going to chapel. Well, God began to work on his heart and soften him up. And one day, he was in his bunk at the mission, and he made a decision that he'd been trying so many things all of his life. Nothing seemed to work. He felt hopeless. He got on his knees. And he said, God, if you're real, change me. And that's all he said. Got up, and God did exactly that. This guy today, this was 6 years ago, today he's serving Christ. He works in a Christian ministry, serving and helping other addicts recover. It's been a tremendous, what a tremendous testimony he is to how God can change a person's life. Now, that was 6 years ago. And I could tell you story after story of people who have gone through the mission program or are living independently, serving the Lord, and there's many, many stories like that. I'll give you a current story. Susan. Susan is a young lady that's currently living at the mission, and she came to us by way of court order. Now, we don't have many people at the mission that are a court order to the mission, but from time to time, we do accept them. The jail is right across the street from the city mission, so the probation officer for Susan, she's been in and out of treatment programs, and nothing seems to be working, and she keeps recycling, finding herself back in jail again. And so he said, you know what? The city mission has a great program down there. I think this is ideal for her. And so the court ordered her, and we accepted her at the mission. She came in, she wasn't sure about anything, you know, just another, you know, program that she was getting into. But what she found out, this was not some ordinary program, that this program really did have a true purpose, a spiritual purpose And she began to listen. She went to the chapel services. She worked with her counselor. She began to see something totally different than what she's heard anywhere else, that Jesus actually could change her life and give her hope for a better tomorrow. And Susan one day made that decision as well to receive Christ in her life. She's been baptized. She's still at the mission. We actually highlighted her in one of our newsletters. She serves right now and works with our medical, because she was a nursing assistant. So she's working in our medical clinic part-time as a nursing assistant with our nurse. And so, because we do have a lot of people at the mission, we have 96 beds for men, 14 beds for single women without kids, 12 units shortly, once the renovation is completed, for women with children. And then shortly, we're going to have 22 beds for homeless veterans. So I think that altogether, that's about 144 folks that are going to be at the mission on any given night. We also have 18 apartments in this Washington area. We don't own them, but they are what we call a shelter plus care program. So we take some of the chronically homeless, we place them in apartments, we make sure that they're getting the services they need. That's the only program that has any government funding whatsoever through HUD. We pay the rent. Then we submit our invoice to HUD, and they reimburse us on the rent for the people that are living in the community. So, but they also receive services from us as well. We have a street outreach program called We Care Street Outreach. Every other week, they go out, and right now they're meeting at a church. The unsheltered homeless living along the creek banks and out in the woods will come there for medical care and food and sleeping bags and things like that. So that happens every other week. And so we're looking to put together another group of folks that are going to go out on the opposite weeks to actually just, because that group is strictly a medical group. We have a doctor that volunteers her time that goes out. But every other week, we'd like to put a group together where it just goes out to be a witness for Christ, pray with people, share the gospel with them. So the mission, I told you about the medical clinic, it's open 5 days a week. And so with that many people living at the mission, and almost every one of the men and women that come in, none of them take care of themselves medically. So none of them have been to many of them haven't been to a dentist in years and years and years. Many of them have medical problems, high blood pressure or diabetes, haven't been taking medication, they don't take care of themselves. So our medical clinic provides is like a triage where they come in, they get assessed. Every single person that comes on the mission has to go through our medical clinic if they want to live there. And so we do that within the first few days. They get assessed. We connect them with the primary health care in the community, help them get signed up to get insurance, and so they can begin to get their medical problems taken care of. Because medical issues, in many cases, is why they're using drugs and alcohol in the first place, to kill the pain or whatever it is that they're experiencing. And so they're using drugs and alcohol to numb that pain. So we can take care of some of the medical issues. We have a chance of being able to address that barrier that stands in their way. We also do work with the legal community to help them address legal issues. Believe it or not, legal issues is another barrier to the homeless for independence, because they're running from city to city, running from things such as child support. Or we had a girl that had $2,000 in parking tickets. So there's a warrant out for her arrest. So she's going running from city to city, homeless, trying to avoid getting picked up because of parking tickets. So we work with we have a great Christian woman, loves the Lord, an attorney who works with our clients to help them address the legal barriers. She'll write a letter to the magistrate. The magistrate normally will say, listen, well, as long as they're in their program, fine. They'll set up a payment schedule. They don't go to jail. They get to stay in our program. So that's a pretty awesome thing to be able to do. But we do address drug and alcohol, mental health issues as well. So all those issues that stand in the way of somebody moving from homelessness to independence is addressed at the city mission. And so we are a what I call, one of the ways I call it is a full service mission. I've said, if I've ever going to, we're ever going to be homeless, I want to be homeless in Washington, PA, because at that mission, you get the help you need. They've got the mission has all the services necessary right there, so that you're not have to you know run all over the place, because that's another barrier. People don't want to have to do that, which is one of the things about veterans. They don't want to go to Pittsburgh. They go and go to the VA in Pittsburgh. We've sent them, but they've not been able. They don't really want to go. So, with all that said, hopefully I painted a picture for you to give you an understanding that the city mission is about helping people not only move from homelessness to independence, but it's also a mission that really wants to see people move from being spiritually homeless to having a spiritual home in heaven, because that is more critical than that home on earth. But that's what the mission is all about. That's what we do. And so we do have a few things that are, I'm going to repeat this, but I would love for you to come. Come and tour the mission. See what it is, your prayers, your support, what it's doing at the mission. I think you'll be amazed to see the transformation that has happened in this organization, the amount of people that we're serving, people who are coming to Christ. It is an awesome, awesome thing. I am absolutely privileged to be a part of this. I mean, it really is a privilege. I praise God for calling me to ministry and putting me here in Washington at the City Mission. At this time in my life, I praise God for it. I mean, this is awesome. So with that said, I think I'm going to close. And I don't know how you want to do it, but can I pray for you? I would love that honor just to pray for you, and so that God will lay on your, whatever it is that God will lay on your heart. If he has you to want to volunteer, want you to come down and tour, want you to do something else, let's do that. Let me pray. Father, I thank you so much for this congregation. And God, their support, their commitment, their dedication, first and foremost to you. God, I could just hear it in their worship today as they worshiped you together and honored you with the fruit of their lips, the praise that's in their hearts. And God, I just ask you to bless them. Continue to bless them, Father. Bless the pastor. Bless his family. God, bless the families that are represented here today. Intervene in those struggles and challenges that they're facing, Lord. Lift them up. Give them hope. Help them see that there is a better tomorrow. And so, God, I just thank you for the opportunity just to share this story with everyone here today. God, just bless us as we go our way. I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.